Welcome, Hoosier Nation, to our 169th episode of the Hoosier Sound, where we are the official podcast of Indiana HQ. Our mission and goal is simple. We want to bring in-depth analysis and coverage for Indiana University sports to as many fans as possible across a multitude of modern platforms. We are recording this edition of the Hoosier Sound on November 17th, 2020, where I'm your host, Nathan Krishnan. Here with me tonight is my usual partner, Matt Lukens. Matt, how's life? Indiana's 4-0. They're number 9 in the country. How are things going over there in the Lukens household?
Good. It was a nice routine win against Michigan State on Saturday. It was a fun game to watch. Basketball schedule came out today. A bunch of basketball news coming up. Of course, the season's getting ready to ramp up in 8 days, I believe, is the first game. So obviously very excited for that as well, to have great IU news, hopefully, to talk about next week, and basketball to talk about. So lots going on in the Indiana sports world, which means good stuff for the Lukens household.
Exactly. Yeah, lots of stuff happening. Lots of good things, too. Indiana coming off a 24-0 shutout victory over Michigan State on Saturday. It's IU's first 4-0 Big Ten start since 1987, a year where they finished 8-4. It's the first number 9 ranking for Indiana since 1967, the year the Hoosiers made it to the Rose Bowl. It's hard to believe it's the first road win against Michigan State in something like 18 or 20 years. MSU had won 9 of 10 in this rivalry between the two teams, but now the Hoosiers have the old brass platoon. Matt, which player stood out to you? I mean, there are a lot of interesting performances. Lots of interesting performances, but, you know, I'm sure there were a couple players on both sides of the ball that really popped as you watched that game on Saturday.
I think the obvious answer is Ty Freifogel. 200 yards receiving is absurd. He had a great game. I just felt like every time Penix threw the ball, it was going to him. So he was obviously getting the better of his opposite number for Michigan State. And was absolutely murdering the Michigan State secondary. That was atrocious, just being honest. Like, they weren't good. And then on the opposite side of the ball for Indiana, Taiwan Mullen, 2 picks, right? Remember, I said at the beginning of the year, yeah, and he had 1 pick last year, and I was like, I predict him to, like, double that margin at least within 3 games, and here we are sitting 4 games in, a little bit premature, but you got 2 picks in 1 game. So things are coming along. Hoosiers are getting turnovers, shut out a team away from home. I don't think Michigan State got past their 40-yard line maybe once. And it was just a dominating win from IU. And I felt like the offense took the second half off too. That's the thing. Like, they kind of just packed it up at halftime. I don't know what they gave them, like, Culver's or something at halftime, and they're sitting there eating a greasy cheeseburger just thinking about how they're up 24-0 at half, and all right guys, it's over, it's done and dusted. And they came out in the second half and I felt like barely even tried, which was, again, kind of frustrating as a fan, right? You want them to run up the score, get a 40-point win at Michigan State looking good, but a shutout's a shutout. 24-0 is nothing to scoff about.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not going to sit here and moan and groan and mumble and huff and puff about Indiana basically going into cruise control after halftime. I mean, if you watched the game on Saturday, you basically knew that Indiana was a couple plays away from really blowing this open, 38-0, 45-0, something like that. You were saying Michigan State offense didn't get past the 40. I mean, I didn't even see them showing up on the field on Saturday. I don't know where they were. I don't know what yard line they were on. It was a really rough performance by Michigan State's offense, something we both expected going into that game on Saturday. And you also have to tip your cap to the IU defense. The Hoosiers did something that, you know, Michigan, for example, wasn't able to do against the Spartans, and that's put up a crooked, you know, a big old fat zero on that scoreboard. Yeah, like I said, it was Indiana's first win in East Lansing since 2001. Indiana is 12-5 since the start of last season and 9-4 in Big Ten play. The Hoosiers have won 5 straight Big Ten conference road games and 9 of 11 back to the 2019 season. I mean, we were having years where we were like, can Indiana win 3 Big Ten games? I mean, can they beat someone outside of Rutgers? And now look where we are, man. It's a really, really impressive story that right now has the Hoosiers number 9 in college football.
Yeah, number 9, and deservedly number 9. Some people will say, you guys haven't taken anybody. Well, we can only beat the opponents that we have on our schedule. Also, are bad that Penn State and Michigan decided to just have years where they just can't get a win. Especially Penn State's case. Like, Penn State came in the year a top 10 team, a consensus top 10 team, by the way. And they would be better off, I think, you know, obviously they're missing their star linebacker and they're missing Journey Brown, who retired from football. With those two back, we might be talking about a much different Penn State team. Of course, they would still have Sean Clifford as their QB, which is...
oh, boy. Yeah.
A little... just the way I said that, you can understand our thoughts on Sean Clifford at Penn State. But look, IU will finish the year having played 3 top 10 opponents, especially if Wisconsin does what I think they'll do this weekend and beat Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at an IU team that will be thoroughly tested throughout the season thanks to the Big Ten schedule and will be a top 10 team. And we might even be looking at a 1-loss IU by the end of the season. Maybe.
Yeah, we might be looking at a no-loss IU, Matt, the way they're playing right now. I mean, we'll get into that a little bit later on in this episode. A couple other guys that stood out to me personally on Saturday. Micah McFadden. I mean, we talked about him last year as someone who was really hit and miss. He would have a couple of good plays, a couple bad plays, a great game, but a couple mistakes here and there. If you ask me, this year, Ty Freifogel is the most improved Hoosier on the offensive side of the ball, while Micah McFadden is the most improved guy on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, 9 tackles on Saturday. He had two sacks, and he was all over the field. He had an interception against Rutgers a couple of weeks ago. I mean, he is flying all over the place right now, and he's going to be extremely important as a spy against Justin Fields on Saturday. One other defensive player that stood out to me was Jerome Johnson. I mean, the big guy, number 98 up front, he had 2.5 sacks, really just made life difficult all afternoon for Rocky Lombardi and Peyton Thorne, as Michigan State went with a different quarterback after Lombardi threw, I think it was his 3rd interception, at least 2, maybe it was the 2nd one that got Lombardi pulled. So, you know, overall, you know, you're seeing different players contributing. I mean, even now I'm looking at the stats and it's shocking to see Ty Freifogel with 14 targets, 11 catches and 200 yards. Like, like solid performance. Indiana took care of business. I mean, look, Matt, regardless of what happens on Saturday, it seems like as we watch Indiana play, the eye test is matching the results. This does really look like a top 10 in the country college football team and a team that's one of the 2 or 3 best in the Big Ten.
I think they're close. I wouldn't go as far as to say that they are for sure top 10. Again, especially with the Pac-12 working up again, I feel like Oregon's going to move their way into the top 10. There's a couple teams from around the country that I think have losses that are outside the top 10 that could squeak back in again. I think Georgia's one of them. I think Georgia's a top 10 team. But this team is very good. Now, we'll talk about Ohio State in a bit. They have to improve on offense if we're going to beat Ohio State. And that's the one portion of the football team, to me, that's really holding us back, which is weird to say because Penix, the leader of the offense, captain of the team, is our most talented player. So you would think that the offense would be the leader of this team, but no, it's the defense that is seeming. I'm looking around the country. I grew up a University of Florida Gators fan. I'm used to watching SEC defenses, right? Week in, week out, those 3:30 CBS afternoon games. On the call, watching Florida play Arkansas and on a sweaty 90-degree afternoon in September. I'm used to watching these kind of defensive battles, and I'm telling you that this Indiana secondary that we have is one of the best, like, cumulative secondaries that I have seen play. Like, across the board. We just brought him up, right? Jamar, we talked about Jerome Johnson. We didn't talk about the other Johnson. Jamar Johnson's great. Bryant Fitzgerald has been fantastic filling in for the injured
Marcelino Ball.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bryant.
I got
Devon
you.
Devon Matthews has been great. Reese Taylor has been great. Taiwan Mullins, maybe the best corner in the Big Ten. Overall, they've meshed so well. They all complement each other extremely well, and they're playing at an extremely high level. So I just want to take this as a person who has grown up watching really good defensive. Like, I remember watching Brandon Sparks and the Florida defense in the 2008 when they won. I watched every single game, like every single minute of that defense that won the championship. Tim Tebow won the Heisman, but that defense was what basically carried the championship. And I'm telling you that secondary was not as good as this secondary. The secondary is better than that. It's a championship level secondary that we have. And they're all young players too. That's the thing. All these guys are young. They're going to be back next year. So things are really looking up for this team and looking down for the rest of the Big Ten that they have to play us, because we are going to make life a living hell for teams like Wisconsin. Like, Graham Mertz is finally going to get really tested against us. I'm really excited to see Justin Fields, who has 11 incompletions on the year, see how he does against our secondary. Like, this defense is fun. Now the offense needs to catch up if we're going to stay in the top 10 and give Ohio State a bit of some trouble this weekend.
Yeah, it was funny. You listed all of IU's defensive backs. The one guy you didn't mention was Jalen Williams, who has three interceptions on
exactly.
the season. That just is a testament to how deep that the secondary is. They've given up 8 passing touchdowns this year, and they've got 10 interceptions on opposing quarterbacks. And I mean, that alone is just as surprising a stat to me as Justin Fields having 11 passing touchdowns and 11 incompletions. So overall, I'm not going to sit here and like I said, criticize Indiana too much for how that second half went. I know a lot of folks out there are a little upset. They're a little annoyed that Indiana basically went 0-0 with Michigan. Not basically, that's what happened. They went 0-0 with Michigan State in the second half. But, you know, in that type of situation, you're trying to stay healthy. You're trying to keep your stuff close to your vest, so to say, with some big matches coming up too. I don't think Indiana ever felt threatened on Saturday after the second quarter, really after the first quarter. Once they went up 2 scores, I don't think IU ever felt like Michigan State was going to even put any pressure on the Hoosiers. And so you don't really have to push the limit. I mean, that's really all it is. The points to win the game. Indiana doesn't care what the spread is. And frankly, Indiana covered the spread by 17 points. I mean, they still exceeded expectations. So that's the way that ended. Overall, Matt, just really quick letter grade on how you thought the Hoosiers played. I'm going to give them an A-. I mean, the spread was 7 or 8 points. You won by 24. You shut them out. Don't care.
Here's the thing. I went in expecting like a 45-17 win. So I guess that's almost the same margin of victory. But I feel like the way they took their foot off the gas in the second half is not a great look nationally. So they get a B+. They would get an A, I think, if they had scored maybe 1 or 2 touchdowns in the second half and we're looking at a 38-0 win compared to a 24-0 win.
Sure. That's fair. And look, to be perfectly honest, while I feel like it doesn't matter, Tom Allen and Michael Penix and Micah McFadden and Taiwan Mullen after the game Saturday said clearly, you know, we've got some work we can all do in the days building up to Ohio State. No question about it. But you know, that's where this program is right now. You're 4-0. you've swept Michigan, Michigan State, and Penn State, and you're hearing some sort of, not frustration, but you're hearing the players say, hey, we've got some room for improvement. We've got to tighten the screws a little bit going into this big top 10 matchup. We're going to preview Ohio State in just a minute, but first it's time for Who Won the Week in IU Sports. And look, there have been a lot of great bits of news coming down the wire here in the last few days. Tom Allen was named to the Bear Bryant Award watch list for National Coach of the Year. The Hoosiers overall have done really well in the classroom. The student athletes have put up a really nice academic scorecard here so far as they continue to crush it in this really difficult time as far as virtual instruction is concerned. They're doing a great job. But for me, the player that won the week was Peyton Ramsey. And folks, I know he's a Northwestern Wildcat right now, but Peyton Ramsey was quarterback here at Indiana for multiple seasons, including last year, where he stayed on board as the backup and ably, more than ably, filled in when Michael Penix got injured. Ramsey has Northwestern at 4-0 this season. Indiana and Northwestern are the only two 4-0 teams in the Big Ten. And it's Michael Penix leading one team and Peyton Ramsey leading the other. And that's uncharted territory for Northwestern, too. I saw a note that said last time Northwestern was 4-0, their coach, Pat Fitzgerald, was playing for the Wildcats. So that just goes to show exactly how special this season's been for Northwestern so far. And look, as you touched on a minute ago, Matt, Northwestern's got a big game coming up on Saturday. It feels like these two matchups sort of are stacked perfectly on top of each other. You have Indiana, Ohio State at noon on Saturday, Northwestern, Wisconsin at 3:30. It's going to be really great to see which teams really stand out on this upcoming Saturday afternoon. Again, Peyton Ramsey, and you know, another solid performance. He went into Purdue and won, you know, just like how he did in the bucket game last year. He did that in a regular season college football Saturday now. So Peyton Ramsey doing great things out in Evanston. So here we go, Matt. It's time to preview the blockbuster matchup we're all excited to see coming up on Saturday. Indiana at Ohio State. It's on Saturday at noon. Saturday at noon, kickoff on Fox. Ohio State is a 20.5 point favorite. The over-under is 66. So basically, the odds makers are saying it's going to be something like 43-22, 43-23, something like that. The forecast right now, it's supposed to be overcast in Columbus, Ohio on Saturday, high of 58 degrees. So not nearly as uncomfortable weather as you saw on Saturday, where you're talking high 30s, low 40s in East Lansing. Indiana's last 5-0 start was 1967, the year they made the Rose Bowl. So that's what the Hoosiers are trying to do as far as Big Ten standings are concerned. Ohio State is number 3 in the country. They're coming off a canceled game on Saturday against Maryland due to coronavirus cases spiking in the Terrapins program. 2 weeks ago, Ohio State beat Rutgers 49-27. So, Matt, look, we know how different these programs are as far as tradition's concerned, as far as recruiting's concerned, as far as NFL draft prospects are concerned. Mm-hmm. But at a high level, what are you looking forward to seeing as Indiana takes on Ohio State at noon, big noon Saturday on Fox?
I'm looking forward to see a classic college football game. You have a offensive juggernaut in Ohio State, a team that scores 40 points per game for fun, running into an Indiana team that's led by a stellar defense, one of the better defenses in the country. So it's a really good, fun college football game, especially for the neutrals. Like, just like waking up noon on a Saturday, getting a top 10 matchup, and one's Ohio State and the other one's this upstart Indiana team. That's fun. That's good stuff. That makes for great college game day talk. It makes for nice college football playoff talk, right? We talked to have the show today for the first college football playoff ranking, and IU was included in that. So this is a really fun game. And on the high level, on the overall level, when you're looking at it, you have two great quarterbacks as well. You have a Justin Fields that it's a Heisman front runner, and you have a Heisman dark horse in Michael Penix, who very much could, on Saturday, cement himself into the Heisman conversation with a stellar game. So this is going to be a fun game to be a part of if you're a Hoosier fan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to expect going into Saturday. I mean, when I saw the 20.5 point number come out on Sunday, as far as the spread's concerned, immediately I was like, that's a lot. Well, I was like, is that enough? I'm not sure. Anyway, look, this Ohio State team is loaded. I mean, they lost a ton of talent from last year. How about this? Just consider they had 10 NFL draft picks, second only to LSU. Guys like Chase Young, defensive backs Jeff Okuda and Damon Arnett. How about running back J.K. Dobbins, who's doing big things in Baltimore after ruining Indiana the last couple of years? Lost some key guys on defense, too. Malik Harrison, Jordan Fuller, Jayshon Cornell. I talked about a couple of corners that they lost earlier. So lots of guys have left the Ohio State program since we saw them last. They fell to Clemson in the college football playoff semifinal last year. But look, they've got a ton of players you've got to know for this season. It starts and ends really with Justin Fields, the superstar quarterback, who, especially with Trevor Lawrence getting hit with coronavirus, is, I think, unanimously the best quarterback in the nation right now until Lawrence comes back. This year, Fields has been nothing short of sensational. How about 72 of 83, 87% completion percentage, 908 yards through the air, 11 touchdowns, no picks, and just for fun, he's tacked on 57 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. But look, obviously with the team as good as Ohio State, there are a number of other really good players. They've got a nasty two-headed combo in the backfield of Master Teague and Trey Sermon. Their receivers, Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, are going to cause a lot of problems for Indiana's secondary. Tight end Luke Farrell is a very reliable target over the middle of the field. Josh Myers, Wyatt Davis, and Thayer Mumford are coming off all Big Ten campaigns last year. Their job is to protect Justin Fields, and they usually do a really good job of that. Defensively, Sean Wade is the star of the defense. The corner is a highly projected NFL draft pick after a third-team all-conference performance last year. Mm-hmm. Linebackers Tuff Borland and Pete Warner rack up the tackles. They do a great job. Defensive tackle Tommy Togiai had 3 sacks at Penn State a couple weeks ago. Fun fact, he's from Idaho. Not sure how many other superstar NFL players. Not sure how many superstar players hail from the Potato State. But Togiai is an absolute beast up front. He was Big Ten Player of the Week that week when he had 3 takedowns of Sean Clifford. Defensive back Marcus Hooker is the younger brother of Malik Hooker. And Marcus Hooker had an interception in Ohio State's last game. I believe in the game against Ohio State. So Hooker's a dangerous player too. We're going to get into some key matchups coming up. First, though, it's time for a social media shout-out. And Matt, I know you were excited to see the non-conference schedule come out for Indiana. The fun starts November 25th. Hoosier Hysteria's tomorrow. It's a virtual event. Talk to us a little bit about Indiana basketball.
Yeah, so first off, tomorrow night, if you're not watching the NBA draft, watch Hoosier Hysteria or watch both at the same time. You can do that. The draft is very boring until they make a pick once every like 10 minutes. You can watch Hoosier Hysteria at the same time. As far as the schedule goes, we got a couple games. So Tennessee Tech on 25th. Again, we talked about 8 days. Season starts 17 plus 8 is 25. Got Tennessee Tech. Maui is not in Maui. It's in the middle of nowhere of North Carolina.
The Asheville Invitational just doesn't have that ring to it.
No, it doesn't. So the Maui Invitational is in Asheville, North Carolina. That starts on the 30th. We will play Texas and Providence in that tournament. And then depending on whether we win or lose, we can end up playing UNC at some point. Which, of course, would be great for the non-conference schedule if you play a team like UNC. Playing Texas as well, that's ranked in the top 25, is nice as well. Then FSU on December 9th. I will be there in attendance. It's going to be fun. Go Hoosiers. Then North Alabama on the 13th. And then for the Crossroads, Butler on the 19th. That's what we got for the schedule so far. I assume that's going to be it. and that they will just move into Big Ten play after that. But I could see them also adding a game at some point in there. Maybe if somebody is free. I probably not, but maybe.
Who knows, right? I mean, it's such a strange time. We've seen college football teams sort of randomly mix and match their opponents throughout the season.
And that's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. They can mix and match on the fly now because, again, this is the same people that didn't have a schedule out for us until 8 days before the season start, and we still don't even have a Big Ten schedule. Like, we have no idea what the heck is going on. We didn't have any basketball games. We didn't know if you were playing basketball. They were just taking the year off until about 12 hours ago. So now we're sitting here. We have a little bit more concrete evidence that we are, in fact, going to be watching basketball this year in college. How it's going to go COVID-wise and scheduling-wise and making sure everybody's healthy, I can't give you a prediction on that. But it's a really good start for a team that is pretty promising in India.
Yeah, and just to clarify a little bit on that Maui schedule, the one guarantee right now is Providence on November 30th. It's more likely than not that Indiana will face Texas on December 1st. Texas does have to beat Davidson for that to happen. And then, like you said, that big matchup against North Carolina looms. That means Indiana could face both North Carolina and Florida State, a couple of highly rated ACC teams, in the non-conference schedule. But hey, it's fun to see opponents and dates. Nothing I saw on the TV front as far as networks are concerned.
No.
And like you said, Matt, the Big Ten schedule is still yet to be released. I wonder if they're going to finish the non-conference and then go straight into Big Ten play, which is not what we've seen the last few years. They've kind of peppered in some Big Ten games in there, but
yeah.
I have no idea what to expect. So, you know, all of this is just speculation and hunches. The one thing we do have in stone are dates and opponents for those seven non-conference games. Except even in Maui, we don't have opponents. We just have dates. So there you go.
Yeah.
Let's dive back into Ohio State, Matt. You know, first of all, Indiana's offense is going to go up against an Ohio State defense that lost a lot of pieces from last year. And if you ask me, this Buckeye defense is a little bit leaky. They're still really good, but I'm not so sure that they pose that much more of a challenge than Michigan and Penn State. It feels like all three defenses that Indiana's faced has had some weaknesses to this point. For example, Ohio State's 23 points per game allowed is just fifth in the Big Ten. It's not like they're going out and shutting down opponents. Indiana is really struggling to run the football. The Hoosiers have only gone after it at 2.7 yards per carry, which is 12th in the conference, even though Ohio State's allowed 4.2 yards per carry. And here's the thing. Ohio State has allowed the second highest completion percentage this season among all Big Ten teams and is only able to pull down one interception. And remember, with the Buckeyes, you've got a team that has really played from in front in each of their three games. So the opponent's in a lot of passing situations. Yet this secondary that Ohio State's got isn't really forcing interceptions, especially compared to the rate that Indiana's defense has done it. So, Matt, when you look at the IU offense versus the Ohio State defense, what are the key matchups you're looking at, and who do you think really has to step up for IU to win this game?
The offensive line needs to step up. I think Penix has been fine. I think the wide receivers have been fine. They don't need to step up. They don't need to put any more effort in. They are already putting it. The offensive line in the running game needs to step it up. They need to get more push. They need to get more holes open for Stevie Scott to run in. I feel like every time Stevie gets the ball, he is being hit behind the line. And that is just not acceptable at the Big Ten level as far as run game is going. And especially going up against this Ohio State defense. Again, you brought up two names, Pete Warner and Tuff Borland. These are linebackers that just love to get downhill and absolutely destroy run games. And Tommy Togiai from Idaho wants to be sitting in the backfield, you know, blowing these plays up as well. So we're looking at an Ohio State team that is going to try to stop the run against Indiana, and IU needs to get some sort of running game going in this game if they're going to have a chance. Yes, you went on this nice soliloquy about the fact that they're giving up the most completion, you know, the highest, second highest completion percentage of the Big Ten, and teams are in passing situations a lot. Well, they're in passing situations a lot because they can't run the ball. And you're not going to beat Ohio State team without a little bit of balance, right? I am not asking for a 150-yard rushing game from Stevie Scott, you know, and three touchdowns. That's not what I'm asking for. I am asking for an occasional 4-5-yard carry on first down to get the team into second and manageable instead of a 2nd and 9 like we always seem to be in. And then all of a sudden, it's a lot harder to move the sticks. It's a lot harder to get that first down. For whatever reason, we are way better at getting those 4 or 5 yard gains when it's inside of the opponent's 20-yard line than when it's outside of it. Because for whatever reason, my memory might be wrong, but I feel like Stevie Scott has gotten way better runs inside of the red zone or approaching the red zone than he has at any other point on the field, which makes no sense to me because it should be harder to run in the red zone than it is to run at your own 25-yard line. But what do I know? I am a guy sitting on Indiana HQ's podcast talking about my lovely Hoosiers.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be concerned about with Indiana's ability to run the ball. Again, the 2.7 yards per carry is just an eye-opening number. You know, there are only three teams that are averaging less than 3 yards per carry right now in the Big Ten. The other two are Purdue and Michigan State. And look, Indiana has much bigger ambitions than those two teams. This year, everyone else, the other 11 teams are 3.6 or higher. So really, Indiana's got to find a way to crank it up on the running game. I don't know if this is the matchup to do it, but no. Like you said, you've got to keep Ohio State at least somewhat off balance. So, you know, one guy we might see a little bit more is Tim Baldwin. And we saw the freshman get a few carries on Saturday, and I'm not all of a sudden clamoring for him to be the starter. But Baldwin is someone who carried the ball 3 times, got 18 yards, had a 10-yard carry in there. He showed a little bit more speed and shiftiness. We've always said Stevie Scott's an extremely reliable guy, but Baldwin could be the little bit of the explosive factor that you might see take the field a few more times for Indiana on Saturday. When I think of some of the other matchups on that side of the ball, Ohio State secondary still does. Let me put it this way. Ohio State secondary is the weakest part of that defense. They're still good. And let me make it clear. Sean Wade is an excellent corner. And Marcus Hooker is a solid safety who's going to roam, play kind of that center field. But Ohio State has some weaknesses. For example, Seven Banks, he's number 7. Fancy that. On Ohio State's defense. Seven Banks is someone who was really torched by Jahan Dotson when Penn State faced Ohio State a couple of weeks, actually 3 weeks ago, 2 games ago for the Buckeyes. You know, in that game, Dotson went out. And how about this? He had 8 catches for 144 yards and 3 touchdowns. And if you look back at the highlights from that game, a lot of them were against Seven Woods, Seven Banks was when Banks is in coverage. So here you go. You might see Indiana attacked that matchup a little bit like you saw them attack Vincent Gray in that game against Michigan a few weeks ago. Just something to keep in mind. Also, how about this? Even though you've got a top 10 matchup, you've got a first-year offensive coordinator in Nick Sheridan going up against a first-year defensive coordinator for Ohio State in Kerry Coombs. Now, Coombs has a lot of experience. He used to coach at Ohio State. He has over 35 years of experience, so he's very unlike Nick Sheridan, that Sheridan is in his 30s and one of the youngest coordinators in the game. But how about this? All of a sudden, it's kind of interesting to see the chess game going on. What type of trick plays might Sheridan have up his sleeve? What sort of interesting blitzes will Coombs try to throw at the Indiana defense? Ohio State overall hasn't been great when it comes to sacking the quarterback. I mean, they've got 9 of those, but like I said, Togiai had 3 against Penn State in the 1 game. We'll see how Indiana does. The Hoosiers have done a really good job of protecting Michael Penix for the most part Also, of course, Penix likes to get rid of the ball pretty quickly. So it'll be fun to see how all of that plays out. I think Penix needs to have a heck of a game for Indiana to win on Saturday. He's got to have the best game of his career. And I love Michael Penix. He's the guy I love to watch play last year. I love to watch him play this year. He's got to be a little bit sharper, a little bit cleaner than he's been the last couple games. Even against Michigan, there were one or two passes that were dropped by the Wolverine secondary. Could have been interceptions. Michael Penix has a really great opportunity to A, beat Ohio State, and B, really pop as far as an NFL draft prospect is concerned with a great game against a somewhat poor secondary. So, Matt, that's what I'm looking for on the offensive side of the ball. When Indiana's defense takes the field against the Ohio State offense, they obviously start with Justin Fields. Where else does this Hoosier defense need to focus on in order to put their best foot forward?
I mean, I would talk about Chris Olave. I would talk about Garrett Wilson, who are the two receivers that IU really needs to look out for when it comes to Ohio State. I mean, literally, out of the 908 receiving yards that Ohio State has, they have, quick maths, I want to say 700 of them. So, yeah, it's like 720 of them. So they quite literally have a majority of Ohio State's.
I think it's 620, close enough. So over, still two-thirds.
No, yes, 620.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys.
You're good.
Quick math. 620. No. They have two-thirds of the receiving yards for Ohio State. They also have almost half the catches, if not half the catches. They get the most targets. They get the ball. They get all the throws to them. They get, you know, they're the weapons, right? They need to look out for. But it all comes down to who's getting them the ball, which is Justin Fields. The offense completely, utterly revolves around Justin Fields. There's no way to mention anybody else in the offense without having to mention Justin Fields in the first place. That's why he's a Heisman contender and a front runner for the Heisman. He's that good. He has 11 incompletions on the year. And the thing that worries me about this Indiana defense when it comes to Ohio State is Sean Clifford ran for 100 yards on this Indiana defense. And I know you look at the stats and you go, you know, Justin Fields has 56 yards or 57 yards rushing. Like, is he really that good of a rusher? That's not the issue. It's the fact that he's going to prolong plays and he's much better at it with a much better offensive line than Penn State and Sean Clifford is. So this secondary is going to have to play its best game it has ever played, and they're still going to let up touchdowns and long, big, explosive plays because you have a quarterback in Justin Fields that is special, an NFL quarterback. He's special. He's going to be probably the second pick of the draft behind Trevor Lawrence. The team, Ohio State, he's good. He's going to put up numbers, folks. He just is. And it's not going to be anything against defensive coordinator Kane Womack. It's not going to be anything against Tywan Mullen if it's Chris Olave beating him on a post. And it's going to be Justin Fields beating this IU team. And IU's offense needs to match whatever the Ohio State offense is doing.
Yeah, I mean, Fields is special. He's a Heisman front runner. Look, Ohio State has scored the most points in the Big Ten this year. And here's the thing. They didn't play last week.
Yeah.
I mean, they're averaging 46 points a game. They lead the conference in points scored. Now, Indiana's fourth in points per game allowed. But look, here's where I think it gets really interesting. Fields doesn't have an interception on the season.
He has 11 incompletions.
Just incompletions. And it's crazy to think that. But here's the deal. He's thrown no picks this year. Indiana's picked off opposing quarterbacks 10 times to lead the conference. I think it's going to be interesting to see how Indiana keeps Fields contained in the pocket. You know, not always going hell-bent on sacking Fields necessarily. Can you keep him contained in the pocket and force him to throw the ball 30 times on Saturday And if you and if he has to, if he goes out and does that, now all of a sudden can Indiana get those pass breakups, get their deflections on those attempts, or perhaps hit Fields a couple times and force an interception. That's where I'm curious to see what Kane Womack has up his sleeve, especially when you think about how James Head has started to play a lot better recently and CEO's been more noticeable recently. And we talked about how Jerome Johnson has been an impactful player. I'm really curious to see how Indiana this week schemes up unique looks to really get after Fields. But here's the bottom line. Neither Ohio State's defense nor Indiana's defense has faced a quarterback this year as good as Michael Penix or Justin Fields. Fields is the clear-cut number one QB in this conference, and Penix is the clear-cut number two quarterback in this conference. Regardless of what the numbers show right now, you say whatever, Tanner Morgan's not as good. Sean Clifford's not as good. Peyton Ramsey, 4-0, still not at the level.
You're forgetting the savior that is Graham Mertz.
Oh, well, look, Graham Mertz has only played two games, okay? Now, I might come back in a month and say things are different, especially if Mertz throws for 7 touchdowns against Indiana. But let me just pause a little bit on him. I'm not going to quite jump the gun on how he's played so far against who, Illinois and Michigan. I mean, I'm going to look right now. If you ask me, maybe other people think differently. Fields is 1, Penix is 2. Both Indiana and Ohio State have played Penn State and Rutgers. Ohio State played Nebraska. Indiana played Michigan. I mean, look, those offenses are nowhere close to what Penix and Fields throw in front of them. So a lot of the stuff you've seen, it's going to be a whole different degree of difficulty on Saturday afternoon for both defenses. So I'm really excited to see what happens. So here we go. I mean, Matt, it's Tuesday night, but as we look ahead to Saturday afternoon, what's your prediction for this one?
See, I want to say it's a high-scoring game, but then every time I say that, it ends up being a low-scoring game. So I have no idea where to put this, but I'm just going to go with my gut. 47-40, Ohio State. I think we beat the spread. I think we lose in heartbreaking fashion. But I actually think it ends up being a good thing for our overall resume in the end, being the only team in the Big Ten that's going to keep it somewhat close with Ohio State. And Ohio State goes on and probably wins the college football playoff, given the fact that I think they're the most talented team. So congratulations, Ohio State. You have a good team. But we'll keep it close. And I think other in-game prediction, I think we will take an early lead and make it very uncomfortable for them. So it's going to be a game that both fan bases are going to come out in the end and be very proud of the performances they put on the field and be very congratulatory of the other team.
Yeah, and you know that's where I was curious to hear what IU fans' expectations were for this game on Saturday. We released a poll over on Indiana HQ, our Twitter account. All of you listening, go and give your thoughts. I asked what were your expectations this week. I said, is it win or bust? Is it play hard and keep it close, or is it hey, it'll be ugly because it's Ohio State? 60% of our voters said, hey, play hard, keep it close, see what happens. 31% right now say win or bust. Just 9% are saying, hey, it's going to be ugly. It's Ohio State. And there's a couple things going on there because if you do keep it close, right, you can stay high up in the rankings. I don't think Indiana is going to fall much if they lose by a touchdown against Ohio State. And so, you know, if that's what happens, all of a sudden Indiana is in Rose Bowl contention if Ohio State does make the playoff. If you're asking me for my prediction, I think something very similar to you. I don't have the number of points that you have in the game, but I've got this one being a 34-33 Ohio State win where they come in on the last drive of the game. Justin Fields has the ball last, and as a result, he, you know, diligently, alertly, calmly, coolly moves the ball down the field, and they get a Blake Hobiel field goal towards the end of the game to win it.
That would be painful. That would be so painful.
Because here's the deal. I feel like Indiana is going to play their tails off, and I think they're going to be upset. That means, you know, they're going to be ready to go. They're not going to let Ohio State go crazy on them like last year, which is what happened in Bloomington. I just think Ohio State's got a lot of talent, and we haven't had that backbreaker of a game just yet. I think that's what's going to happen on Saturday. Ohio State hasn't had a close game this year. I mean, even the Penn State one where they won by 13 was a game where Ohio State really jumped out to a big lead in front. And then we saw Penn State and Ohio State just kind of trade possessions here and there. Mm-hmm. So that's where I see it happening. Andrew asked a good question. He said, you know, Tom Allen has said being close is no longer acceptable. Does being close mean anything? It doesn't mean anything for our football players. It doesn't at all. Our players are going to be devastated if they lose this game by a point or by 7 points or by 27 points because they're going to go into Columbus with the mindset that they're going to win. It does mean something as far as the computers are concerned. It does mean something for the AP writers who vote every week. And remember, you know, if the best Big Ten team goes to the college football playoff, the second best Big Ten team per the CFP rankings goes to the Rose Bowl. And so if Indiana can keep it close, they can keep that sort of 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th ranking in the polls, and they'll be in good contention for that Rose Bowl New Year's Six spot. Of course, these are all hypotheticals, all ifs, thens, and maybes. I'm really excited to see this game on Saturday. I think it's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be one that people talk about for a long time. Yeah. And it's going to be a roller coaster ride for 3.5 hours on Saturday. So, Matt, we talked about Indiana, Ohio State. Let's zoom out a little bit and talk about the Big Ten in general. As usual, we give you guys an upset pick every week. We also give you one against the spread. Matt, your upset pick last week was Nebraska beating Penn State, and you nailed that one. And then he also said, ho-hum, Indiana's going to cover 7.5 against Michigan State. You nailed that one. You're 3-1 on your upsets this year. You're 2-1-1 against the spread. So people should listen to what you have to say. Matt, what's your upset pick of the week, and what's your spread pick of the week as you look ahead to week 5 of Big Ten play?
See, I love chaos. Chaos is my friend. And given that I'm an Indiana fan, we like chaos. So I like to look at other Big Ten East teams, and I like to pick against them because it's fun, especially those that are in turmoil. So I'm looking at a team in Michigan that is playing Rutgers, and I look at that they have a 10.5-point favorite, and I look at Vegas, and I say, what about this Michigan team tells you that they should be 10.5-point favorites over Rutgers?
Oh, boy.
3-point favorite, maybe.
Oh, no.
10.5, no. Give me Rutgers money line on Saturday. I don't believe in this Michigan team at all. I think Rutgers is going to be mad about losing to Illinois last weekend, and they're going to come out and beat the brakes off of Michigan. So I'm happy about that one. My spread pick is...
I love that so much. All right, what's your spread pick?
Is that Wisconsin will more than cover against Northwestern. I like this Northwestern team. We talked about Peyton Ramsey. He was a wonderful Hoosier. We love him very dearly. There is no way that a Peyton Ramsey team is going to keep it close with this Wisconsin Badgers team. And to be honest, I think this Northwestern defense, while has looked pretty decent, has not been tested by an offense in the echelon that is Wisconsin, in the tier that is Wisconsin. So give me Wisconsin pushing the over on that one.
Yeah. Okay. No, those are jotted down, man. You know, there are so many strange games in the Big Ten this week. I'm going to take Penn State to upset Iowa at home on Saturday. It's weird. Look, it's just weird for me to see Penn State as a home underdog. And I know they're 0-4 this year, but I guess that just means they're due to win. They're not going to go 0-8. And I think Iowa's
the chaos. Embrace the chaos.
Iowa's just taking advantage of a weak Michigan State and Minnesota defense, especially over the last 2 weeks. I'm leaning towards Penn State upsetting upsetting Iowa on Saturday. And then against the spread, I mean, we saw Michigan State last week. They're absolute garbage. Maryland is a 6.5-point home favorite against Michigan State. I think Maryland's going to win that game by 70. So I'm taking Maryland to cover 6.5. I don't know what they're thinking. Taulia Tagovailoa is going to light up Michigan State time and time again, like we saw Michael Penix do last week. So I think Maryland's going to take care of business. They also have an extra few days off because their game against Ohio State got canceled on Saturday. So that's that. Matt, I'm going to hand this question to you. Rob, one of our listeners, is asking, who wins the Big Ten West? I mean, we've talked about the East so much. That's the division Indiana's in. There's some strange imbalance with the number of games played in the Big Ten West. But right now, who do you think has the upper hand in that division race?
Well, like I said, we were talking about the Wisconsin-Northwestern game. I think the winner of that game wins the West. Yeah. I don't think I'm not stepping out on too far of a ledge on that one. And since I said Wisconsin, I'm going with Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin's the best team in the West. I think they have the most talent from top to bottom in the West. I think they're also the most consistent program over the last couple of years in the West. You could say that Northwestern's been pretty consistent as well, making a Big Ten title game in that time. But give me Wisconsin. My money's on Wisconsin.
Yeah, this is hard for me. I mean, the Big Ten is so deep, but man, I wanna tell you something different, but I think Wisconsin's gonna take care of business in that division. If for whatever reason they don't meet the qualifying number of games to play in the Big Ten title, then I think Northwestern's next. That game against Purdue was really big on Saturday, and Peyton Ramsey figured out how to score a few more points for the Wildcats to get that win. So I'm leaning a little bit towards Northwestern, if and only if Wisconsin's unable to qualify. I know there are some rules out there right now, so I'm not just spewing garbage. There are some rules out there that dictate if you miss X number of games, you're unable to play in your conference championship. If that happens, I think Northwestern steps in. So, folks, that about wraps it up for our 169th show of the Hoosier Sound. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your support. Thank you to our live audience. We appreciate all of you as well. To hear more fantastic episodes like the one you heard today, be sure to follow Indiana HQ on Twitter to make sure you don't miss any in the future. You can also go to our website, IndianaHQ.com, to find it all in one place. Lastly, if you enjoy our show, leave us a review, tell a friend, share our links. Your support really helps us grow this podcast and reach more passionate IU fans such as yourselves. But as always, thank you for listening, Hoosier Nation, and we'll see you next time.